Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Let's Bookie One-on-One Show right here on Fresh Nation Radio. We are here for another exciting episode of the Let's Bookie One-on-One Show with Dahlia Manette and comedian Tattletale. We have a special guest coming in tonight, a gentleman that's going to, well, he's going to tell you all about himself, but I can tell you this, that it's going to be exciting. He's got some good information. He's in the film industry. And once again, we're going to talk about, well, I'll let him tell you that. I'm not going to spoil it. But anyway, how's everybody doing out there, man? And just remember that you can always catch us on Saturday mornings on Fresh Nation Radio. Our links are all over social media. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. You can go to Les Boogie Jones on Facebook. You can go to the Les Boogie One-on-One page on Facebook or Fresh Nation Radio on Facebook. And you can find us. You can go to Dahlia Manette's page or you can go to Comedian Tattletale's page. We are everywhere. If you can't find us, then you're not looking. Tell a friend. And always, always, always spread the word for us because we are here. It's community radio. We try to give you information. We also have a little fun. You know, we have a little fun. We cut up a little bit. We do have some fun, but we keep it real. And it's all about you. Dahlia Manette, how you doing tonight? How's everything?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. You say I'm good. I'm ready to go.
You know what? We gotta do a live show where people can go ahead and send in messages while we talk.
Really
hear what they've got to say, because it's always about what I think, about what you think, what Tattletale thinks. I want to hear what someone else has to say, so we got a plan to do that soon.
We got to go live.
Absolutely.
Go live. We're making a big thing. You know, for our anniversary, I wanted to go live. We actually had went live. What guest did I have? I can't remember what guest it was, but it was very interesting. And people not only were able to comment, but they were also able to come on the screen and be involved. So, you know, that's really good because then you get some different perspectives. But a lot of times them shows go, and you got to control it because it might be 2-3 hours going on here. You know, we got to take it easy. But it's fun. And I do want to go live. You know, I do want to go live. The only problem with the live thing is that I want to make sure that the feed stays steady.
Right, it
goes where it's supposed to go. So, yeah,
all be in one room when we do that. Then,
yeah, maybe we'll
do it. So if it does go 3 hours, maybe we should do like a charity kind of marathon thing where people can come in, they can donate to a charity that we have and
that's
have
a great
some
idea. Money. I like that.
I go to school.
yes, indeed. So, listen. Current events, what's going on out here? Anything interesting that you picked up on? What's happening in the world?
Wow. I say this again, I don't even know enough to comment on what's going on in Israel and Gaza and the Hamas and all of that.
Right.
But I remember just seeing briefly, I didn't get to read the article, that I think it was Israel bombed someplace in Syria and they're finding hundreds of people that were killed. You know, it really does scare me that we are coming to the end of times. You know, you always hear people talking about that the wars that are going on, the Ukraine, Trump, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, they always talk about the turbulent times before the times of peace. And he definitely a turbulent time. So it just makes me feel like, are we forcing ourselves into the end of days? I don't believe it is something that God is going to say, I'm ending the world. I believe it is going to be us. I don't think the world is going, you know, earth, nature, I don't think that's going anywhere. I think we are going to annihilate ourselves. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now. Wow. I know it's not sad.
Listen, hey, that's where you feel. That's where you feel.
Exactly. Man. I've been thinking about that a lot, really. And then on the other hand, I still think about what kind of future I'm going to leave my nieces and nephews, and I was talking about, you know, doing a trust. So everything that I own, because I don't have children, go to my nieces and nephews, and they all know that. And so, you know, I have to get a trust done. My brother was like, when you get your house, we're going to start doing the trust for you and make sure all of that is taken care of.
Very important.
Exactly. Because I always feel that the sacrifices that I made today is so that my nieces and nephews don't have to do it tomorrow. I feel my mom and my stepfather, they made a lot of sacrifices for us. I didn't have to do the kind of things that they did. My mom worked 3 jobs because she had to, not because she wanted to. Like me, I worked 3 jobs because that's just, it's all about me. And I didn't have to do that. And I remember as a teenager, and I'm sure your parents had this conversation, when my mother said, I'm doing what I have to do so you don't have to do this. And, you know, that stuck with me all of my life. You know, she never wanted me to be a secretary. She never wanted me to be an administrative assistant. She always stressed education. She always stressed being the best in whatever I wanted to do. And so I've always tried to that because that's what she commanded. And I want my nieces and nephews to not have student debt. I want them to not have to worry about paying rent. I want them to own their own homes before they're even 30. I want them to be able to live their dreams without having to worry about the sacrifices and all of the things that it would take to get there. So what about you? Because you do have.
But you know, realistically speaking, I agree with you with the fact that, you know, leaving, making it simpler for them is making it simpler, smoother, not harder. Mm-hmm. But also giving them the understanding that nothing is easy.
Exactly.
There's nothing easy, that you do have to work for what you want. I was always taught and told, you know, you work for what you want.
Right.
You put something in, you'll get something out. And I've always lived by that because that's actually true. If you really put some work in, mm-hmm. if you put some work in on whatever it is that you want to do, you can accomplish it. There's no question about that. And I'm a proven example, you know, and there's other proven examples. You know, you can take a negative and flip it to a positive. Absolutely. No matter what your life has been, it does not have to stay that way. This is where people get caught up at. So I try to tell my son, look, man, you can be whatever you want to be. If you take a quarter of what I'm telling you, not half, not all of it, just take a quarter of what I'm telling you that I've been through so that you don't have to do it or go through it, just a little bit of it, then you're going to be okay. One thing I don't want you to do, don't get involved with the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. You don't have to. That's not mandatory.
Exactly.
And he's a singer, an entertainer, what have you. If that's not what you want to do, that's fine mm-hmm. with me. The only thing I want you to be able to do is what you just talked about, to be able to make sure that you have enough money to take care of yourself so that you don't have to ask anyone for anything, that you can mm-hmm. take care of your bills, that you can help your mom out, whatever you need to do, and then your family when you get a family. But start now at a young age, because he's 20, he's going to be 21. Start at a young age now where you learn financial literacy. You learn how to take your money and do it now. And yes, have those things that you set a standard at this young age mm-hmm. so that you don't have to, when I'm 40, I want to make, you know. So no, you make set the standard now. You exactly. get a young guy at 20 years old making $50,000 a year, you know, that's someone that's going to be looking to make a whole lot more when he's 30. And when yep. he's 40, now if you accept $50,000 at 50 years old, and that's a big deal for you, what have you been doing mm-hmm. all your life? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm trying to get him to understand, if you do it now, don't make these mistakes, the critical mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. There's no way around that.
I will say that you're exactly right, but I would only add one more thing. And this is something my parents didn't tell me.
What is that?
Is to leave yourself open to the possibilities. Because remember, I started out as wanting to be a singer. I went to school to be a singer. I sang all the time. And then life happens. And then I decided not to sing anymore. Not because I couldn't sing, but because of the health issues that I had. However, if I didn't leave myself open to possibilities, I would have never owned my own business. I would never be managing independent artists. I would never have gone back to school. Not once, not twice, three, four times, you know, doing those things. So you can have a goal, but be open to things that might change, because you never know what may change that trajectory. But always see success. Always go to the limit that you can, and then make the next goal for yourself. And it has to be your own personal goal. You're not in competition with anybody but yourself.
Right. Well, that's why I say to him or any other young person, It's mm-hmm. it's to me, you know, for me, my thing is, I don't care what you do. Do something.
Right.
And as long as it's something that you want to do, be the best at it, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. See, what I'm trying to say is that I'm in the music business, I'm not pushing you in that direction.
Right.
If that's something you want to do, I'm going to support it. But if you also want to turn around and do something else, I'm going to support that as well. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to be happy at what you're doing, excel at what you're doing. And with life, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So whatever comes up, be prepared. Things will happen.
Exactly.
That's just the bottom line. We can plan and we can do all this, but the other things come up that you're not even, you have to know how to pivot. You got to know how to be a problem solver. You got to look for the solution. Cause I look for the solution. I don't dwell in the problem. Something right. pops up. My first thought is, what's the solution? And you've heard me say that before. Mm-hmm. What is mm-hmm. the solution? You know, people want to dwell on, this happened and that happened. And then go over the thing over and over again. What is the solution? You know, what are we doing about making this not ever happen again? How do exactly. we get past this drama that's going on? Well, I don't really have a lot of time for that. So I try to instill that in him. My daughter's already on her way. She's doing her thing. She has her way handling things. She's very successful at what she's doing. But mm-hmm. I got this young cat right here that I'm trying to make sure that he understands what's going on here as a black male in this society. And I keep it real with him.
Yeah.
Understand who you are. Be proud of who you are. You exactly. are someone. I don't care what you do. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing. Understand to thy own self, be true. Make sure that you understand that you are someone and that you're loved. And then you know how to show love. You know what I'm saying? Don't get caught up in the hype in the streets. Don't do any of that nonsense that men have to go through. See, you're a female and I don't know what females go through, but I know what men go through out here in the street, mm-hmm. especially these younger people right now with the peer pressure, the gangs, this, that, and the third. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. There's ways that you can navigate through all of that and still be okay. Right. But you have to have support and you have to be able to talk. And see, one thing about young people, they need to learn how to communicate, not only to one another, but to someone that they respect, someone that's going to give it to them the real, raw way and keep it real with them, somebody that cares about them. Right. So yeah, I am a father, and that's my job. My job is to make sure that I leave this earth with something that I instilled in him that he can take and carry on, that I leave it better for him than it was for me. Because that's what all parents basically should want, is for their child to have something better than what they had. And to be able to not go through as much as we might have went through. And see, right. this is why I always talk about, you know, when we talk about civil rights and things like that, the reason why I respect those people before us, our predecessors, those that have died and put us in position, you got to understand and respect the position and the process that they went through and what they paid for, so that we, you and I, can sit up here on a platform and we can have this dialogue, and we have a guest waiting and we can have dialogue with him, because all that's important. Because there was one time we couldn't have dialogue, we couldn't read, we couldn't do anything. They want to kill us. So, yeah, that's important. People may not understand the ideology of certain individuals. You may not agree with Malcolm X. You may not agree with Martin Luther King. But you know what? The sacrifice, if somebody gives their life for you, whether they willingly do it or it happened along the way, and you don't respect that, I think there's something wrong with that. And a lot of young people need to really understand their history and go back to why they are able to do what they're able to do now. I respect that. And I'm going to end with this so that we can bring the guest on.
All righty.
My grandmother, my mother, my older brother, and my uncle was at the march on Washington in 1963, right? Wow. They were there. They were a part of that. Now, these young people today, do they research that? Do they understand how important that really was? And then you do the Million Man March. Do they understand how important that was? That we talked about that before. They thought it was going to be, they had the cops and everybody ready, and then they wanted us to act mm-hmm. a fool. They thought we was going to get out there and then do what they say we are, and it didn't happen. So I tell my son, who was born in 2003, he doesn't mm-hmm. know about all that stuff.
Exactly.
But he does understand what Barack Obama's about, though. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's his reality. So my job is to educate, stand up as a man, and show a young man how to be a man. That's my job. That's why God gave it to me. So, yes, with your nieces, your nephews, yep. it's the same influence. We got to paved the way. And it's, and people say it's always financial. It's not about finance.
It's not financial. Civil rights, and that's the thing that people don't understand. The people who fought for civil rights did not benefit for that fight.
Exactly.
We benefited for it. Exactly. If we didn't do civil rights, I wouldn't have the kind of job that I have, because from civil rights came diversity. And that is a job that I am in. And I do realize that what I strive for and what I fight for, people are going to see that in the future. My nieces, my nephews, my cousins, my little cousins, you know, all of these people, my godchildren, they will benefit from the fight that we have now. And that's the way we have to think, is that we are here not only to make ourselves happy, but to pave the way for those who come before us, because we become their ancestors. The last thing I want to hear from, if I am privy to what is going on in this world, is my nieces and nephews saying, talking about me as, oh, you know, Auntie D, boy, she used to love to hit that brown liquor and hit the floor and twerk. And that was her legacy. Yeah. That's not the legacy I want to leave.
Not good. Now, you know what? On that note, our guest is coming on right now, right? We're going to bring him on. And we're talking about legacy. Mm-hmm. He's a part of something, a project that speaks on legacy,
right?
Leaving a legacy. We're going to bring him on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Howard Clay Jr.
Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Kings of Rhythm. I'm going to let him explain to you. Hey, Howard, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, sir. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you, man. Good to have you. You know, I know you've heard the conversation we were having.
Yeah.
And we talked about legacy. You know, you got a legacy, a project going on right now that is really about legacy and individuals and what is an important fabric to the music industry in America. We're talking about a gentleman here that everybody knows. This gentleman here is, how could I put it? He's bigger than what people even know about him.
Absolutely.
Super big. And I'm going to let you take it from there. This is the executive producer of the Kings of Rhythm, the Ike Turner story. Go ahead, brother. Talk to me.
Just to touch on, thank you for that. Again, thank you for having me. Just to touch on the whole legacy part, you know, as adults, one thing about the children, I know when I go to speak and talk to young people, is that they're constantly being bombarded that there was no past.
Mm-hmm.
There was no civil rights. There was nobody paving the way. They're not taught the same way we were taught. Even though we were taught wrong about a lot of things, they weren't taught, and they're not encouraged to seek out their heritage. They're encouraged to assimilate. They're encouraged to be an influencer. They're encouraged in those different ways. So us as adults now, we have to do something different that our parents didn't even do. And that's truly take or come up with a plan to teach, which leads into, you know, what we're talking about today, is that, you know, there are so many stories out there and there are so many beautiful people out there, but the young people are bombarded with other imagery, other gods, other everything. You know, they're talking about space and aliens more than anything else. And it's not that they, whether it exists or don't exist, it's what they're not talking about. It's what they're not talking about is the Black struggle. What they're not talking about is the Black economical gap that's still there. What they're not talking about are those types of things. And, you know, and that's something that our parents, they didn't have that to give to us. And now we have to give it to them on top of teaching them everything else about being a Black person that we can think of and the challenges that come along with it. So
very true.
You know, I segue that into saying that this story, the King of Rhythm, the Ike Turner story, falls in line with that, because I believe that it's a Black history story that has been overlooked because of decisions, you know, of people that were made to show this image in a way that they did. So now, you know, I feel it as my own journey and my own challenge is to present this piece of African-American history that a lot of people just don't know about, and it's slipping away. And as you were saying, like, you know, if we're not telling them the different things, they can't find it in the history books. And many of the stuff that's in this movie, they won't find in any history books. Right. So it's very important that producers, especially Black and Brown producers and filmmakers, take on a responsibility, whether they, you know, choose to or not. We still have a responsibility to not only show African Americans and Brown people in a different light, but also to revealing some of the history that is being lost or is being pushed over because we're afraid of the Me Too movement or we're afraid of what people want to think, instead of being challenged by giving people an opportunity to make a decision on their own. So, right. You know, when it comes to this story and the King of Rhythm, there's so many facets to it. And I've heard the interview you guys did with AP. That was amazing. I don't have a, you know, personal touch about Ike. I never was able to meet him. I never was able to work with him as they were for those years and everything. So mine is coming from an outside position. And so when I took on the project, one of the main things that stood out to me was that this would be a great platform to help people. I'm a big component about helping people and moving moving it forward, especially for Black and Brown people. All the activities, shows, pilots, TVs that I've done all has the same. Even my mission statement for Howard Clay Films is about the advancement of colored people, almost like the NAACP. So it's all like, you know, right. Right. I want to make sure that I looked at it as an opportunity that we could do something special that's never been done. Right. And when that comes, when I say what hasn't been done, is that instead of so focused on the movie or so focused on the arguments, how about we focus on helping people? How about giving people an opportunity to, be the hands from the grave of Ike and do something that he wanted to do. And that's changed his legacy. They've been very, you know, they've tried so many different ways. And I was like, listen, the best way is to go head on. So that's what he was speaking about, is that we're going to partner with 10 to 12 nonprofits across like 5 different states in order about sexual abuse, drug abuse, and of course, domestic violence. And we're going to give a proceeds of the profits of the movie to those nonprofits. So instead of us just talking and bringing awareness, which is amazing, we actually want to put forth some money in order to help these programs to be stronger and do and touch as many people as they possibly can. So we have started already with several here in Atlanta, and I'm in talks with people in Ohio as well as Indiana, actually some people in Jamaica as well. We really want to, like I said, change. What's crazy. This is simply what it is. What's crazy is that if you think about movies, and I'm not going to be naming names, but you'll get the hints. It was, you think about movies, is that especially done by Black people and Brown people, is that we don't show any responsibility. We'll show somebody getting beat and drug across the screen, a female, but then there's no, after the movie is done, there's nobody to contact if that's ever happened to you. We'll show, you know, what I call it is the Black pain. There's a lot of people profiting off of Black pain. And I don't think that's fair. And I think as a responsibility of Black and Brown filmmakers, such as myself, is that we can talk about the Black pain, but we also need to be just as active with helping people and bringing along. Like a big movie just came out, and a young Black girl had a shotgun put in her face and was told to leave this property. And then there was no dialogue about that young girl getting raped by this man that, you know, and it's like, there was nothing about it. We just told the story. And then we hide behind this image of art. Like, oh, it's art. I'm just showing art, but we got to be responsible for what we put out on the screen, because as Black and Browns, it's not just about making the money. It's about making a legacy. It's about putting something out that can be seen for years. But also, imagine this. Movie comes out, you know, 2026, 2027. We do well. Let's say $100 million to box off. We're able to donate, let's say $20 million to nonprofits. You tell me what $20 million would do for 10 nonprofits. How many females, how many males, how many drug addictions, how many people will be helped from that? And I think that this is a new era to where it's an information age. Everybody can just grab information from anywhere. So we're not doing nothing new. What we're trying to establish is trailblaze something for Black and Brown filmmakers that we can make the money. I have no problem with that. We can tell the art. I got no problem with that either. But let's go ahead and wrap everything up with compassion. Let's wrap everything up with love, and let's wrap everything up and be a help to the people who need it the most. So that's my goal as executive producer, is that as we're hiring these people and bringing them on to film the movie, I want them to have the same passion that I have for helping people. So I know he briefly talked about some of the people. He didn't name names, but we some of the people we have attached already, I've already had this conversation with them, and they're 100% ready to go. They're 100% ready to have these dinners where we're raising money to go speak on behalf of the movie to young girls, young men that are dealing with these issues, and just to show up. Sometimes it's just about showing up. We don't always got to do something, but if you just show up, it gives people hope, especially if you're a big name. And with the big names that we do have attached, it's going to be miraculous watching them influence hundreds of thousands of people simply from, you know, this polarizing individual, Ike Turner.
Beautiful, brother. Hey, right now, I'm going to introduce you to, he was able to make it, our other co-host. This is comedian Tattletale. He made it. He got back in time.
Am I in the dark? Can y'all see me? I need some more light.
Yeah, you need a little more light, brother. Put the light on. Shine a light on him. Shine a light on the brother. There you go.
Give me light.
Boom shakalaka. Hey, listen, will they say anything bad about me? Because they be talking about me, you know.
No, nothing bad.
About the time when you were just drunk out in the street and we picked you
up.
Oh man.
But you know what? I was listening backstage, and I agree with the brother. We need to take more responsibility for our filmmaking. Every year we got 10,000 hood movies. If you go on Tubi, there's a new hood movie, and we got to stop that. I always say that films and movies are propaganda, and that's one thing that the mainstream has done. Their films is about pop propaganda, and they have all their heroes. We have anti-heroes with the negative message, and we need to really get away from that. I think the last good movie that I saw with basically an all black starring cast was The Book of Clarence. That was good. Why y'all laughing at me?
That's for a whole nother discussion. I didn't know about that one.
No. But I'm just saying the genres that we pursue, all that violence and hood stuff, and you know, and girls getting beat up, and that whole thing. Yeah, we really got to get away from that. Yeah, got to get away from that.
I agree. But when we tell our stories, there has to be multifaceted stories, in that we're not depicted the same way every single time.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what our children are looking and thinking. That's what they have to emulate, or that's what they have to be.
Exactly. We got 10,000 hood movies every year. Go on, Tubi. I never lived
well, that's not true. I lived in Jamaica, Queens, but I was never brought up to be in the hood, if you know what I mean. I mean, my mom made sure we went to a private school. My mom, as a single parent, worked three jobs to make sure that her children had the best that they could possibly get, so that we could be the best that we were supposed to be for ourselves. And there are a lot of parents that are like that.
Yeah.
You know, there are tons of struggling parents, whether they're with their partner, their husband, their wives, or they're single doing it alone. And we don't tell those stories enough. And if we do tell those stories, we tell about how they're out and down in the debts. They're out in the street. They were penniless. They were this. They were hookers. They were pimps. That's not always our stories. What about
that's what I'm talking about?
People who really fight for their place in this world.
Well, listen. If you hear about how we discuss this, and we've discussed this quite often, you know what the brother's saying too is what I'm getting from what Howard is saying. Not only is this a movie, it's a teaching moment.
It's a teaching moment.
it's a teaching moment because we're going to learn about Ike Turner. And I know more about Ike Turner than probably, you know, some other people. And I know that Ike Turner wasn't all that they made him out to be in terms of their representation, because we're looking at, people are looking at one movie about, and that's Ike Turner. I've even heard lyrics in rap videos that when they talk violence or beating up, you know, women with violence and abuse, they use his name right behind it. Yeah. Like he's the poster guy for domestic violence.
And that's, and that's one of the major things that we're running into. One of the problems we're running into is just the image. And like you said, there are other aspects to it. But this polarizing image of Eat the Cake anime has taken its toll on his name, which has, and it has not allowed his family to do anything that, to make money off of. And that's, again, just the over sensation of Black violence that is very attractive to people. You guys said something, and I agree with you, but I will say this. So when those movies come out that aren't about violence, that are about two grown people and two people working hard or a regular family, we have to go out and support. There have been a lot of movies that come out. The Peculiar Case of the Black Superhero, I forgot the name. That one came out. Teal came out. And these are some of the movies that did not make the money that they needed to make. And at the end of the day, you got to understand it, it has to be some type of financial in order for it to move forward. And they're asking, like, why are these shows getting canceled? But yet 50 Cent show keeps going on. It's because we're watching 50 Cent show. And that can be from many different facets. But I don't mind you watching 50 Cent show. But I also tell you, please go watch Ava's show. Or please go watch Deion Taylor's movies. Or please go watch Will Packer's movies. Movies that are positive, that are showing us in a different light, successful. Will Packer hasn't put out a movie that didn't have successful Black people in it. Rich Black people in it. So, you know, it's great to support Tyler Perry, but it's also great to support some of these other people that are, like you said, giving different images for us to watch.
But you know what? See, this is the problem right here. This is what Tattletale was talking about. We have been indoctrinated to just look for that.
I'm not arguing that, you know, from
social media, from everything that's taught in the streets and how they're moving around. That's what attracts our people to these type of movies. When it comes to something that makes some sense, something that has a message, something that has some teaching and history to it, oh, that's boring, that's whack.
I won't see that.
Shout out to Spike Lee and Malcolm X.
Yeah, the minute you shine something up.
He pulled that off without not one singing, dancing. Nobody was shucking and jiving. And so, you know, it can be done. But like you said, it's we're fighting.
But check this out, Howard. Look at the names that you had to have, the actors that you had to have in order to get attention. What about these great films that you're talking about that are made with a lower budget, maybe actors that may not be as recognizable, but the story is strong. Yeah. The story is strong.
Yeah.
What I say to that, you got guys like Byron Allen. Yeah. Let's talk about that, Tattletale. We have to do, my thing is, what's the solution? We got to do it ourselves. Now, Tyler Perry has his studio and all that, but he's not the only one that can get a studio.
Right.
You're an executive producer. Yeah. You're moving towards doing things yourself. We have to do that. We have to represent our own selves and not just always depend on them to give us the platforms. We got to create our own platforms, man. You know, we have to do that. That's the only way for us to be able to tell our story. How's somebody going to tell your story?
Exactly.
And
do it thoroughly. How are they going to tell your story if they didn't live it? They're not us.
Right.
We have to be able to have the creative control over what we put out about us. That's our problem. Because those hood stories, you know why they get them done? Because they want to keep us in that same mindset.
Facts.
Right.
And they don't want us to pay attention to the stuff that really matters.
But you know what? Not only does it keep us in that same mindset, but it tells everybody else of different ethnicities that this is how we are. And that is a constant battle of fighting. That's television. That is not how we are. Just like there's a story about Bollywood. I'm sure in India, nobody walks around singing and dancing. Right. But this is what we see, and this is how you're portrayed. So it is the same exact thing. And we've got to figure out a way to message better. Now, Tyler Perry movies, that his he has that same, that genre, he has that look, that is a Tyler Perry, you know that. Mm-hmm. There is room enough for everybody to tell all of our stories every time. And we just have to support each other.
Yeah. And that's where it comes down to, is going to be where the support is at, because you support it with your dollars, and you can support it with your attendance. You know, these things are watching or clicking it or whatever's happening right now with streaming. Yeah, because propaganda can go both ways. Right. There are a lot of Christian movies that are well funded, very well funded. But those Christians have come up and put the money up. Big churches have come up and put those money up for those type of movies. And those movies are literally, they say Jesus and God 1,000 times because it's their movie. So it's going to be a responsibility of mine, others who are have the monies to start backing those films, not only marketing wise, but also into the creative control of the images that we put out there. I think we've made a major dent. I think we've done well, better than has ever been done before. Hollywood is changing. There is room now for both. And it's a lot of times what's been the biggest problems with people outside of, you know, African-American race is that they don't want to acknowledge, you know, the Black stories. But now you have to, honestly, a man can't write a story about a woman. It's not going to be respected. If you're, gay or, you know, some other minority, I can't write that story. So that is one change that has been made, is that they're looking for authenticity. Say the word. Somebody say that word for me. Thank you. They're looking for that. It has to be right. So it has to be, has to be real. You can't just be writing what you think a woman will say. Even with my scripts, when it comes to the woman, I send it over to my wife. She writes the woman's lyrics. She writes the woman part, because me sitting here typing, you know, that might work for some, but that's not what you need. It to be an authentic voice. And some of the stuff that women say, men don't say. So exactly. I can't type what a woman would say or how a woman would feel. So that's some good change that has happened. But yeah, we have to be aware you know, of the different things that they're asking for us, but it's very hard. I'm gonna tell you, Tavitel, it's not as easy as it seems. There's these things called notes, and you'll turn in whatever you want, and in there can be the greatest story ever. And then the people that are producing it, they'll say, "We got some notes we want to run past you." So we won't cave on all the notes. I remember a story. I believe it was Tyler Perry when he was doing
a movie. Yeah, that's true. I know that story. Yeah.
They were like, "Yeah, we need to put a white person in it because you don't have any in there." He was like, "Well, there's not one in my story." They're like, "Well, we need to put one." And he had to put one.
Is that when they made Sofia Vergara be in one of those stories or something like that?
Right. It's just you'll see a random person and you're like, what is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Right. And it doesn't.
And another thing they did to him. They told him that he couldn't mention Jesus in his movies. Mm-hmm. And he told them, "Well, if my God ain't good enough for you, I'm not good enough for you either." And he walked away from the bargaining table. And they came back and approached him and says, "Okay, yeah, you can mention Jesus." And that's what got the ball rolling. Yeah.
That's the whole point.
I do have a problem with that too, because it's now accepting for us to be able to say Jesus and God and all of these things in the way that the Black experience is. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up Baptist. I didn't grow. Even though my parents were Lutheran, my mother was Lutheran. She also understood that we would all find our own paths. I don't know any of my siblings who on Sunday morning are in a Baptist church, but it does not take away from who we are, because we've all made our journey to God in our own way. And that's also not shown for us, is that it's just, we get these extremes.
Right.
There are those of us who are not at the extremes. Mm-hmm. There are those of us who don't even believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
That blew me away in my 20s when I started meeting people like us, look like us, talk like us, work like us, and then said, I don't believe in God. That I thought everybody did. Right. And I had to realize for myself, we're all different. And you don't see those things in film. I've never seen anybody say, I'm not a Christian, I'm not Baptist, I'm an atheist, or I'm not an atheist, but I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah.
And this is how I don't portray those things anymore.
There are a few characters that are popping out. Like I said, mm-hmm. the change is minor. It is starting to move in those directions to address those things, just like you said, that we're not all alike. You know, there are other facets of the African-American experience that don't go along with being there Sunday morning, Sunday mm-hmm. night, Tuesday, Thursdays, and then Saturday yeah. choir rehearsal. So, you know, there are other experiences that have happened that are not of Christian faith. But again, we're dealing with finances. Finances is a major part in this.
Yeah.
It's who is supplying the money. The reason why Spike Lee was able to do it, he went to Michael Jordan. He went to some of the people. He got the money for the film. So he had creative control. So we as the millionaires are dealing out money instead of going to the strip club and buying all these crazy cars. You know, and that's not a judgment statement. It's more about where is our dollars going? Right. And it's important that, you know, we could talk about that all day, but it's important that we begin to put it towards the images that are being seen. But mm-hmm. a positive thing though, a lot of the young people that I meet with or talk with or seen, there's a lot of them going to college, starting businesses, wanting to be things other than athletes. Like I've heard scientists, botanists. I was like, botanists? You know what a botanist is? I've heard some of the stuff, realtor, and a lot. And this is the thing that y'all were talking about earlier. A lot of it had to do with them doing something that they love compared to doing something that was going to make them money. And I have this millionaire friend, only got a few of them. And he was talking about raising his kids to do what they love, and having that freedom is a new freedom that African-Americans don't have. We're stuck in survival mode, where we're just talking about what can bring us the most money for us to survive, compared to telling the kid, here's a nest egg. Don't mess this up, but go do and be free and do the things that bring you joy.
Right.
Let me ask a question, Howard. With this film, The Kings of Rhythm, a couple of questions. The first one would be, after reading the script, what was it that really, really grabbed you about this script that made you want to be involved?
Yeah. Well, shout out to AP. He did an amazing job on the script of telling the story. But the number one thing was he was able to humanize Ike. And that to me is the part that's going to resonate the most, is that instead of looking at him as this villain, we get to see him as a child. We get to see him as a teenager. We get to see what he went through, and it humanizes him. It's not, she's not trying to cover up any blame or change anybody's mind, but we just want, instead of looking at it from one prism, or from one person's point of view, we're looking at it from a totality of his whole life, all the things that he went through, and all the things he was able to endure and overcome. And that's the thing that blew me away. Plus, I didn't know he worked with Jimi Hendrix. I didn't know a lot. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't know a lot.
He was a musical prodigy at a young age. People don't know that.
No one knows that.
Was the man.
But you know what? Right. People don't really understand that Ike Turner actually developed and evolved Tina Turner into the person that she became when she left the group. It was not something that she just discovered who she was. He groomed her to be the star that she was. Did they have a turbulent relationship? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. But there was a beginning, there was a middle, there was an end. And I can't wait to see it.
That's another amazing thing that AP did too. We don't talk about Tina to the third act.
Good.
No, I'm not wrong, but
we don't talk about Tina to the third act. So right. And you know, we don't he was responsible enough too that he doesn't have any overtly depictive violence to women in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. And we don't need notes for that. That again goes back to being a responsible writer, a responsible producer. Everything don't have to be shown across the screen. You know, some things are just understood. You know, at this point,
thank you.
You can think what you want to think, but we don't have to show it. I will not show any. You can watch my movie I have on Peacock right now, Mile 19, and you're not going to see you any violence. Mile 19. Oh, yeah, you wow. have you won't see any violence toward. You see her standing there, then you see her on the ground. You know, you're I'm not my mom, my sister, you know, they watch these movies, you know, now my wife watches it. I'm not going to do things like that. It's, you know, we have to be responsible. These images that young girls are seeing, and this movie is about trafficking, like sex trafficking. Right. So we want to make sure that the images these kids are watching, so when 14-year-olds watch it and 12-year-olds watch it, they're not seeing this violence against women. Like, I don't I don't understand. I understand it, but I won't be a part of it, and I don't have to be. It's just called good writing. But yeah,
do something like that, and I applaud you for that, because when you are bombarded with these things, and I say this to regroup it, when you are bombarded with these things, you begin to believe that this is okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. Facts. This is what I am expected to take from any man.
Facts.
And that's the way I perceive myself. So I applaud you in that. And I also think it is up to the parents, the friends, the people to have these conversations with these young girls and these young boys when they see these kind of movies, so that you can gauge what their emotions are and tell them and speak with them about what you have learned and what to take away from this.
And what they have, people have to think about, and this is a weird thing that people don't understand, but what they see is what they become. I forgot the tennis star's name, the black girl that just won. She was at the same game when she was 8 years old. She saw Serena. She saw these people play the game, and that's what she became. So you see some of these football players, they've been to these Super Bowls. They show that, you know, they've seen this. What they see is what they'll become. And now if you can show them something else, that's what they'll become. That's why I love Shonda Rhimes for Grey's Anatomy. You got to understand how many people became. I'm going to tell y'all a funny story is really quick. I got a friend. His name is Marcus. And if y'all remember Boomerang. But what was Marcus' job? He was an advertising sales agent for this company. This guy watched the movie. His name was Marcus. Eddie Murphy's name was Marcus. He grew up to be advertisement and sales for Nike. So it's like it's just a responsibility of that's something little that nobody even pays attention to, because it's a funny movie. It's got great lines. But what did he do for a living? Think about that. If you would have had him hustling or doing something else, that would have influenced baby Marcus into doing something else. But because he was second in command, and you also had a woman who was in command. So we got to give some of these producers and writers credit where credit is due. Those are two great images for young people to take a look at. And that's what we want to provide, is that when they're taking a look at Ike Turner in this movie, that they're not seeing the images that people have tried to throw in their face. They're able to take a look at it themselves and see, like you said, Les Boogie, the prodigy, the music prodigy of playing the piano at 5 years old. That's what they're going to get a chance to see, so that other is very music influenced. As you guys know, there's going to be a lot of music in it, a lot of songs and different things. That's the people that we want to watch it and get something from it, is that he left a musical legacy dealing with rock and roll, jazz, even some Christian. He left a legacy that we know nothing about.
And you know what kind of really needs to be. It needs to be fair. It needs to be fair. His story needs to be told so that he gets a fair shot of who he really was, not what we saw in that movie. And this is what I like about the fact that this movie is going to be done, because it gives a person an opportunity to say, well, wait a minute. You know, this guy was a regular human being here, man. You know, he had his complexities. He had his ups and downs. He was a real person. He didn't come out the womb smacking people and using drugs and all that kind of stuff. Life evolved. Things went on and circumstances happened. But you get to see the whole nother side that was not told, because all they know about him is
the image.
And
no one has had...
And that's wrong.
You can tell with AP... You know, he's been trying to do this for 20 years. He's been trying to get this movie moving for over 15 years. So it's like, it's time. I think it's time. I think the time is now. I think it's important that this image and this story comes out during all of this other stuff as well. You know, it's time that we're able to judge for ourselves and make our own decisions instead of allowing other people to tell us how to feel about something. Because when I talk to women and some men about it, they instantly don't want to have nothing to do with it. And I just be like, but tell me why. Like, did you know him personally? Were you there? Like,
what's the excuse? What are they saying?
Oh, he was an abuser. He was this, he was that. And I was like, listen, are we going to sit here and continue to judge, or are we going to move forward into helping people? Because this is a great opportunity for us to take something that was meant for bad and really turn it around to be something actually pretty great and really influential to the fact and change. I think this is culture changing. This is going to allow us to hear both sides of the story, whether we like it or not. Right. And I think we got a couple of guys coming up where we need to hear the other side of the story, whether it's truth, fiction, whatever. There is another side, you know, that we have not heard. And, you know, and it's sad that, you know, people are they put these things together. They do it for money. They do it for sensationalism. They do it to get you to watch it and tweet about it and text it, regardless of how it affects our community. Regardless of the truth or whether it's fair or fake or whatever, they don't care. They just want to. I refuse to watch the Wendy Williams special. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah,
I probably won't watch. And I love Wendy Williams. I think she was amazing. And I refuse to watch it because you guys, you're telling me something. I was there. You can't tell me. I was there. I've watched her. You know, that's like you doing an Oprah thing and then me being like, oh yeah, that's right. Let me go by that. Like, no, I was there. I watched Oprah. Like, these are things that, you know, we have to take a stand where we need to in order to preserve our own Black history. Because like Tattletale said, there are people out there that want to erase it. They want to change it and they want to propaganda it. And we can do something about that. We have that power now. And that's what we're going to be taking a stance at, is making sure that creatively we can tell the story the way that the story needs to be told.
Yeah. You know what happens too? One of the biggest problems is that when it comes to individuals, when someone gets an opportunity, let me put it like this, when you get an opportunity, you're a filmmaker, you're an actor, whatever, you take on roles because you want to be seen and heard. So you compromise yourself with people that have the money. And they say, well, look, you know, we like your story, but we want you to do it this way. And you go ahead and you bend. We got to stop bending. We got to, you know, we got to say no. We have to say no until the time is actually right and the whole chemistry of the project is right. And it might have taken AP 20 years. Maybe that's what was needed. Mm-hmm. You know, so that the story could be told right. And that's what I like. I want to bring up this other point. I don't know if you know this movie, Sophie's Love. Have you ever, anybody familiar with that movie?
That's a good movie. Let me tell you
something. That's
a good movie.
That is one of the best movies that I have seen in years. I saw that during the pandemic.
I'm a movie guy.
I'm back with the Clark Gables and the Cary Grants and the Sidney Poitiers. I go, you know, I'm a movie guy, period, right? When you talk about a Black film that was made, and y'all saw it, that film right there, it had everything and every ingredient for a Black positive movie. It was a love story. It was super well acted. I mean, I can watch that right now. I just pulled it up on my other screen just to mention it. That's Black movie making, amongst other movies too. But Howard, if you're not, are you familiar with that movie?
No, I'm not actually.
I'm
watching it. Sophie's Love, man, with Tessa Thompson.
Yep.
Take a look at that movie, man. Sit down with you and your wife.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sophie's Love.
Sophie's Love.
Sylvie Love.
Gotcha.
Sylvie's
Love. Yeah. Oh my God. I know what you're talking about.
She's a hell of an actress. She's a hell of an actress.
This young lady right here. Yeah. This young lady is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. There are some good ones coming out. The change is happening. And I think we can continue to push and knock at the door and try to make those changes. Yeah.
In this movie, do you actually see the evolvement of Ike Turner and how the music industry or the entertainment industry affected him? And that had a lot to do with what went on throughout the years, is the way the music industry, the entertainment industry, it is a dirty business.
That's
how it helped to change this person into a way that I'm sure he never intended to be, or he never thought he would become.
Right. Yeah. And that is mentioned in the script. I can only speak about the script at this time. So, because, you know, we got a journey ahead of us, but according to the script, definitely that is mentioned a lot. Actually, there's several people that did him wrong, white and black, that really affected him because his love for music was so strong and his heart was a lot purer than what people think. So when these people were going against their word, doing the different things, you'll see a couple of situations that went down, you know, and credit and all these different things, because it is a very, very dirty business. And yes, ma'am, that is mentioned and also brought out from several different characters about the music industry.
Yeah. You know, what I see from this movie, there's a couple of examples and a couple of things that are going to make people get an education on. Number one, you know, of course, the violence, the abuse with women, of course, that's a lesson. But it also is going to teach people about the music business and, like what Dahlia just said, what it does to an individual, how it takes someone. When you come in one way, you come in pure, you come in hopeful, you come in, you know, excited. And then what goes on in this business not only has changed Ike Turner, but look how many others it just has ravished. This is hard. It's hard. It's taking good people and made them bad people. And their experiences also have been, it made them brokenhearted people. You know, it just really took what they thought it was going to be, and they found out it was something. And we're going through that. You mentioned it earlier. We're not going to mention names, but we see this go on and on and on. People that have reached a certain height, and now look what's going on with them. Did they come in with that? Did it evolve to that? So you're going to see that part of it. Yes. Then you're going to see the human side of this story, because I read the script. I know what it is. I read it. So you're going to see a lot of different facets of this man's life that naturally we didn't know, but also for others that are in this business, you got to be very careful with this business. It's not for everybody. Just because you got talent does not need that. You don't need to really be in this if you're not built for this, because this thing will eat you up and tear you down. You got grown people doing things because they want to be famous, and they put it in their mind. If I do this once, nobody's going to know. It's going to put me in a you know, because this person promised me. And then when that person breaks your heart and use you, you know, and I'm going to tell you something, as a woman, I wouldn't be a woman in this business. I could not do it.
I'm lucky. Hard enough being a woman.
I couldn't be a woman being used the way they use women in this business. Yep. And I couldn't do it.
Because you know why? We didn't teach our women children that you can walk away.
That you gotta walk away, man.
Accept this, and that if this is something that's compromising your beliefs and your integrity, you don't have to do it. Right. It's okay to walk away from this. There are other ways. They're not taught that in the music industry. Right. First, I'll tell you, when I came to New York, I was told you have to be a size 4. You have to look a certain way. You have to have men that want to be with you. You walk through this with me. You know, and you're told that you have to take it.
Yeah.
I'm Caribbean, so the last thing I'm gonna do is just take it. and Tattletale will tell you, he and I would go back and forth on the phone, and I would tell him, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. Or he would come to these auditions with me, or he would come to meet these producers with me. I was never had to walk that journey by myself, because you got to show up by yourself.
Right.
If you tell me to show up, he's right there.
Right. I think also too, along with that, as we're teaching the young people, I always let them know is to have a plan. Like you got to have a plan. Like, and it's, It could be I'm doing this for 3 years. Like I use Jordan Peele for example. Jordan Peele shucked and jived for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. He got the money that he wanted, and now he's able to put out culturally relevant films in order to. So he had a plan. He wasn't going to do comedy and do what they tell him to do for all these years until he was old and gray. He had a plan. He had something else that was going on. You got to enter into it with a plan. And also, mm-hmm. you know, take whatever your morals is or whatever, you have to stand by those. But when I first got married to Ravisha, my wife, I would tell her, like, listen, we're going to this party. There will be drugs there. Mm-hmm. You say no. And you say it politely, and then you walk away. You don't say it judgmentally. You don't look down upon nobody. Mm-hmm. You say, no, thank you. And you go in the other direction. Exactly. It's like you have to, being in Hollywood, you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, it's not going to go well for you. Like, even when we go into meetings, we went to a meeting. It was the first time I've been in a lot of executive meetings. This was her first executive meeting. I can't say the film or who it was with because it just tells too much. But we went into the meeting, and before the meeting, I sat her down. I was like, listen, they're going to say some things. Do not make your faces that you normally make. You're going to have to stick through this and just listen to them and say, and say, that's a good thought. I will get back with you on that. Exactly. So as soon as, I mean, everything that I said that they would say, they said it. And she was just standing there, and then her eyes was just like, oh my God, like, yes, we'll get back with you about that. I'm like, because you have to have a plan. You have to be prepared. And when I talk to, especially a lot, I get a lot of young Black filmmakers, especially young men, who are asking me about it and what it's like and what it does. And I just tell them, like, listen, you have to be who you are, and who you are is what's needed. And if this is who you are, money doesn't change you. Money exposes who you are. If this is who you are, then it's going to show. But you got to be yourself and not allow other. It's like anything else. It's the same at Walmart. If you're at the front door and somebody wants you to say something, and you're like, oh no, I got to be nice to this person. It's everywhere you go. You gotta be strong enough to be able to tell people no. And be able to say it confidently. I worked in the industry long enough to where I had a chance to meet Diddy and talk with Diddy. And Diddy was forever nice to me. But when asked to go to his parties, I, you know, declined, you know, because from what I knew this wouldn't be the best situation for me to be in with what my parents taught me about being a man. So, I don't speak negative about any Black man, but I will say what he does is him. But you, as an adult, you can't be afraid of what will happen. You just have to say no. There is a choice. And unfortunately, that choice comes with consequences. And then we can discuss those all day. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to go home with what you believe. I've had young ladies come up to me. There's been scenes. I forgot the one guy's name. He won't say the N word. There's young ladies that won't, you know, do this. And I respect it. You know, if you're not going to do that, you know, let's try to work around it. Let's try to do it, because there's other way. And I always tell young ladies, and I think this is a PG program, but I always tell young ladies, you don't get naked, period. If it doesn't move the story forward, your clothes should not come off. Period. Like I've written over 60 scripts. They've won awards. I know for a fact, dealing with directors and dealing with producers, some things are just not necessary. And so if it's not moving the story forward, or it doesn't have a reasoning that they can explain to you in a very precise way, and then you can still tell them no. You know, these are the things that you got to stand by and the things you got to do. And you know, and that's just who you are. It can't be so important that you forget who you are.
And let me ask you a question, Howard. Let me ask you a question. You know, I wanted to ask this before. Now, when certain scenes are done, and like you said, if it doesn't move the movie forward, sex scenes. Let's talk about sex scenes, and especially when the whole, you know, the whole gay situation. Now, to me, when I watch certain movies and I see two men, right? I'm asking myself, why is that necessary for me to have to see this? I'm not saying I'm for or against. I'm just asking, or I see two people in general going in, they're getting naked, they're doing all of this stuff. How does that, why is that necessary, number one? And the other thing is, it's obvious to me as a person that if two people go into a room and the door's closed, I don't really need to see what the hell they do.
Right. Yeah. As an adult, we don't really need to.
You know what I'm saying? So why is this so much of them? And I'm quite sure we know the, well, I'm going to let you
it's
answer.
Sensationalism. It's sensationalism. The purpose
of what? It's feeding to what they believe the public wants. But I'll say this. I don't have anything against two gay men or two gay women on telling, and there's a story to be told. It has to be told in the right context, because there's all kinds of people in all kinds of molds of life that, and so that doesn't bother me. What does bother me is when you start doing things gratuitously. You don't need to see that, and it's not part of the script.
It's not part of the story.
And to make it simpler for everybody to understand, I'm one of those people that get disgusted watching a horror movie and then you got to have a kiss.
Right.
The only thing I can think about doing is or thrilling, you got to have a kiss, or you got to throw your clothes off and have sex before the monster gets here.
Right.
Nobody in their right mind does that. And so that you have to put that into context. Why do you need that? That's not part of the story. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that comes down to the sensationalism, especially when it comes to images. Unfortunately, Tattletale is correct that they want to push across the screen. It's not really, sometimes it has nothing to do with nothing. And I, again, instead of talking about the negatives, we should applaud the people. Like in a lot of Will Packer's movies, it's just, it's hinted at. There was a scene in with the four women. I forgot the name of them. Girls Trip, when she was talking about the size of his anatomy. We didn't need to see
that. That was funny.
Right.
That was, she said it.
Exactly. And it was good, right? Because my imagination.
Your imagination. Really well. Exactly. But that was 100% Will Packer.
Yes.
That was 100% the writing. And that's 100% of African Americans taking responsibility.
Absolutely.
We didn't need to see it. She said was strong enough. The look on her face was strong enough, and that was the end of it. When they go to that level of grotesque, or they go to that level, it's really to get a reaction. They want something.
Yep.
And to me, that equals lazy writing. That equals lazy directing. Because you're taking an easy way out. You're taking the simplest way out. And now, even I'm in a lot of Tubi chat rooms, and one on Facebook, Tattletale, you'll be happy to hear that people were arguing about the sex scenes and the drug scenes and the violence. Mm-hmm. They were like, can we talk about something else? Or can we put out something else? Or can we show something else? And even if we show it, we don't have to show him cooking it. Like he's measuring it. Like, what is this? Is this a how to? Is this a step by step tutorial?
Yeah, everybody know about baking soda now.
Right. And I'll say this, you know, unfortunately, and I'm sure all of us being in the entertainment industry, there are plants. There are people there to bring things down. They're given a lot of notoriety. They're given a lot of money. They're given a lot of access to different things to influence people in ways that we're trying to fight against. But we know it's a fight going into it. And, you know, we just have to continue to stay. But it's not necessary. To answer your question, it's 99% of the time, it's bad writing. It's lazy writing. Mm-hmm. You're trying to spark something that's not even needed or even necessary. And it's unfortunate, but it's a part of the business.
What I think too, in digging a little deeper, they have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agenda to influence our young people that all of these things that you're seeing is what it is and who you are, and it's okay.
Right.
Because that's the, you know, when you look at things from a us and them mentality, right? And they're putting negative images out there. That's always been some form of fashion of how they address us or talk about us or tell us who we are. Here again, they're telling us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they want us to accept that these things are okay. If you look at commercials today, I haven't seen a dark-skinned black woman with a black man and a black family in about 5 years. I mean, every commercial that I see, it's a light-skinned woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a black man, but the kids are light-skinned as well. Now, that's not reality. That's not the true reality. That's some reality. There's some families like that. But what happened to the dark-skinned woman, mm-hmm. black woman? What happened to her? Mm-hmm. What happened to the family that's everybody's dog?
Right.
I mean, I'm quite sure you've seen it. This is purposely done in my mind because here again, I see a lot of our successful black men, the first thing they go do is they go and they find the lightest that they can find.
Mm-hmm.
If she's not white, she's damn near white.
But Cat Williams said,
I'm keeping it 100 with you. And if that's constantly put out there on the screen and on mm-hmm. the commercials and on the television shows, people grow up believing that's what you have to have.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. really
become successful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm gonna keep it real. Cat Williams, I didn't agree with everything he said, but he said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won't show LeBron's wife that much, and she's at every game.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's at every game. Like,
don't know wife that much.
She's at every game, and I'm just like, she's right there. I can see her, but unfortunately, there is good and there is evil. But like you said, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but everything is purposeful. Everything. Right. From you gotta understand when making not just the reason, like when we sit down to make a film or a TV show, we talk literally about everything. So it's not this just has to be the person mm-hmm. that was available that day. No. We casted a dark-skinned. Everything is discussed. It's very, very, very purposeful. There's nothing done on television for film or TV that is not purposeful. There is a purpose behind it. No one is just showing up and being like, okay, that's what we're going to do. No. There's hours of planning that goes into it. And the people that are good, you know, do it for good things. And the people that, you know, are mm-hmm. evil, do it for evil things. Like for our movie, when we're casting, we're looking for certain complexions. We're looking for certain. It's not done by accident. All of it. I've never had a part where I gave it to somebody just because they were good. There was always something more to it that they could do. It's very, very, very purposeful. It has to do a lot with a lot of things, but nothing is by accident. So all those commercials, I say the same thing. But let's talk about on the good though. Let's boogie. Remember this, I asked somebody, remember when we were kids? Because I think we're all close to the same age.
Yeah.
When we were kids, there were no commercials with black people on it.
Yes.
There was no, believe me. And I'm like, no. From Kellogg's to Frosted Flakes to pop commercials to this was before actors started doing commercials.
Exactly.
Like major, this was back in the day. There was no black people on TV. Like when commercials came on, it was a white family. It was like they were always wearing white. They were always doing something good. It was just the imagery, but it was purposely done. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
But you know, when I used to see that, it was strictly entertainment. It wasn't reality. And I knew the difference. Yeah. You know, I knew that it was strictly entertainment for me. When I watched Flipper and Get Smart and Andy Griffin, now
I'm gonna be truthful because in let's expose the reality. There's a couple of times my mother has said, "This is not Leaving the Beaver, and this is not the Brady Bunch up in here." And
right.
My mother in this way, and this
right.
and this Queen's house right here, and you are all her peasants. And so, yes, we had those conversations because my mom was not about to. This was the way things was going to be handled, that we were allowed to talk back to our parents, that we were allowed to stomp our feet and
none of that.
No, of course not. But when I watched these shows, it was just entertainment. It wasn't reality.
Yeah.
Now, for me,
just like that was like going to the movies. I knew that, you know, who they.
But I watched Indiana Jones as a kid, and I didn't want to be the helper that was carrying the bag.
Exactly.
I didn't want to be Indiana Jones. I wanted to be the helper that was carrying the bag. The imagery was that I couldn't be Indiana Jones. He always was showing every dark. It's almost like a bonanza. Don't watch old westerns as an adult. It's the worst. It's the worst day of your life.
Yes.
They would literally show anybody that was black or brown killed, robbed, and never had a fair trial. It's the worst thing. My parents watch westerns. I cannot watch them. I'll be sitting there like, I can't do this. Like, I cannot do what you. It drives me crazy. But those were the imaging. That was, like you said, purposely done. But just get it back on thing. It was all purpose. So when it comes to King of Rhythm, we will be purposeful in a lot of things that we say and do to make sure that the imagery is for the good.
So where we at in the process of with the movie? What are you looking to do with what stage are you at now?
We're still in the development stage / pre-production, and the reason why we're in both. Because it's two different stages, is that because we do have a finished script that puts us in pre-production because we have an executive producer attached to it. But the thing about it is that we're being very careful with who we choose, but also too, I want to finish establishing the relationship with the nonprofits. So we should have that wrapped up probably around April to June. We'll have all those wrapped up to where they're on the website. Right now we have one. We should have probably by the end of April, about three more signed on that'll be on the website. And then as we develop that out, then we'll start to see as we bring on a production company and as we bring on a financier, as we bring on those other things, you'll start seeing it develop more and more. And then you'll get the Hollywood announcement that it is now in production. So you're looking at hopefully we should have this wrapped up right around October, November, and should begin starting filming in February of 2025. So we want
that's
to
right
start definitely. February, March of 2025. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a while to film. I'm thinking probably around 6 months. And then we're looking to probably we release things pretty quickly now. So if everything works out politically wise, you're looking at the summer of 2026. That's the goal. Or the fall of 2026. If not, then you'll see early 2027.
Are you looking to have it released to go to Black Music Festival, Black Film Festival in New York, or
not in the way that we want it to be featured at the Black Film Festivals, right. Which right. It will be. It will naturally be featured. We won't be entering it into any festivals for somebody to judge it, but we would like it featured at the Black Film Festivals. That would be a treat. With the names that we have, I don't see any problems with that. The only problem we're running into and will continue to run into is the PR problem. We have an uphill climb. There's no doubt about it. No matter how we shape it, it upsets some people. Some people, you know, get mad when they hear it. But the problem is that film really affected everything else. So that is something we have to deal with. And in dealing with that, we have to deal with executives. We have to deal with the studios. Unless anybody of y'all know a millionaire that can just, you know, finance this all the way through, let me know. But if not, then we definitely will have to find the right studio. Probably Lionsgate is a big component of culture and also doing the right thing. Sony does pretty decent. There's a couple of them out there that really, you know, they step forward and really put their money where their mouth is with moving Black films forward. So that's the ones we're reaching out to now. But we're right at the beginning stage where we're still attaching actors, still doing different things. But we won't start filming until next year. That's factual. We won't start filming till next year. Probably between March and June or March and July, we'll start the initial photography of the film.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about some of the other projects that you've had recently and in the past.
A lot. I started off, I used to work for Def Jam under Kevin Wells. And that got me into the entertainment business because I used to do things with music and everything. Moved from there to having a nationally distributed magazine called Balt, Be Your Own Success Story. And it was for minority young entrepreneurs. And it was all about education and entrepreneurship. We had Damon John in it. We had several different people on the cover that really has a passion for moving young people forward. And then after that, I really, really wanted to start it writing. So I was able to get an agent and move out to California. And that's where I filmed Mile 19, which is about a young Black lady that comes across a decision that she has to make that's going to ultimately change her life forever. That one is now streaming on Peacock. We're very proud of that. Great movie. And it was filmed during a pandemic, so be kind. Yeah. There's a lot of things that we couldn't do, and there's a lot of actors that quit.
Yep.
We had cast members that quit because we were out in Los Angeles. I don't know where y'all were, but when COVID started in Los Angeles, everything shut down. We couldn't get locations. People weren't picking up their phones. The acting shut down completely because they didn't know how to separate people. So we were right in the middle of that filming a movie. So that was very challenging with the movie. So please be fair when watching it, being like, okay, I see what he means. You know, there are some things. It wasn't low budget, but it definitely, there were some changes that needed to be made. Because I don't know, the regular users be like, why did he do that? And I'm like, we couldn't even touch each other. Like, that's why they didn't kiss, because we couldn't touch each other. We were all walking around with masks and anywho. So
6 feet away.
Yeah, right. So then I'm also the marketing director for Made of God Clothing. Clothing started by an African American woman who just wants to proclaim that the essence and
it's a shirt. You have that shirt on right now.
Made of God. So and then there's my book just came out. Where's it at? Oh, I honestly forgot where it was. I wrote a screenwriting book. There we go. How to write your TV show and movie in 31 days. So So I tell how some of the secrets I use to writing scripts. I've won awards and different things. So I started off a screenwriter, wasn't planning to do anything but write, but ended up being a filmmaker and also executive producer, just coming along and learning the different things and putting my talents to their best use. But I enjoy it. I think I just love how it influences people, like watching people's reactions to the movie, like in the theater, is an experience that is bar none. It's like being at a concert and everybody knows your song and they're singing it back to you. You're like, what? It's like seeing people. I've actually had a couple of people come up to me, which blew my mind, and they've been like, you know, wait a minute, I've seen your movie. And I'd be like, what? I don't even know you. Like, did you like it? I think a lot of people liked it. The way the checks are set up, it seems like people like it. So,
I ain't mad at you, man.
It's funny. I used to, I'm a big book reader when I was younger. I kind of slacked off now, but I'm back to reading books again. But when I was younger, I'd read like 100 books a summer, like almost like Cat Williams. I was always reading. Wow. It's funny. My brother calls me and he's like, you're not going to believe it. I was like, what? Because I'm from Indiana. And he was like, your movie is in Indiana's library. I was like, no, it's not. So he took pictures of everything. And my movie, Mile 19, is in the same library where I read and watched movies as a kid.
Wow.
So I thought that was crazy to me. Huh?
Now, I know you made it big if your movie is on the plane.
Oh, that's next. the crazy part is we're in over 100 libraries, across America. I was like, why? But I'm happy. Yes, I'm very happy about that.
Congratulations.
You have definitely crossed the milestone, because the way that they're pulling a lot of the movies, a lot of the books, a lot of out of
right. So it was great. And when we go and we talk to it, to see the effect of the young people, I wish you guys, I got to put up more videos. But when we go and we show it, we went to Miami University, where I graduated from, Oxford, in Oxford, Ohio. And we did a screening for these 14-year-olds and younger. And the questions that they had would have blown your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, they were adult questions. Like, should I not trust everybody? Like, they were really asking questions about what they had seen and how it affected them, which was really great. But I have four shows right now that we're shopping. One is called Confessions. It's simply that we filmed that up in Cleveland. I have one on YouTube right now called The Mama and Ken Show. It's two influencers, Mama and Ken. They have millions of subscribers on YouTube as well as on TikTok and Instagram. But it's basically a Black mom and her daughter and how they have a different relationship than what we're used to seeing with Black moms and Black daughters. And it's very positive and loving. It's really something, like you, like we said earlier, that needs to be shown. Like, everybody didn't grow up getting beat. You know, right. Everybody didn't grow up with low credit scores and having their name being put in the cables for cable, and they never had cable in their life. So that's not everybody's story. So this is another story that's been shown. Then another one, we have a Black entrepreneur by the name of Lady Danzy. Mm-hmm. And she owns the only prom and dress shop here in Atlanta. And we did a reality show for her called Fit for a Queen. That should be coming out as well on next year. So we have a lot of positive. Like I said, I focus on just positive images for Black and brown people in order to push my propaganda of love and positivity. So, yeah. You know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, everything that I'm a part of, everything that I does is responsible with what they're showing across the screen in order to benefit as many people as possible.
Yeah. 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 That's just remarkable. Thank you. Know, thank you. For really, sure. That is just remarkable.
We are still with you. We are still with you. I see you looking around. We're still with you. Listen, how do people get in touch with you, Howard? How do they, you know, keep up with what's going on with the progress of the film and things like that? How do they reach out?
So, for the film, it's called the website is kingofrhythm-movie.com. The Instagram is the same, kingofrhythm_movie. And just, you know, please support it. If you're believing in just Black stories, and I tell you why I need your support, I don't even need your money, but we already for, and I talked to AP about this, for hashtag Ike Turner movie and hashtag King of Rhythm, has already been blocked and has already. So I had to petition to Meta to let them know, like, listen, this is my film, because I've spent a lot of money with Facebook. So it was able to contact them and be like, listen, this is mine. Like, y'all just can't take it down because a few people, and mind you, this only been up for like a month. So we're already getting blackballed, you know, and I understand it. People are angry. They have this emotion and I understand it. But as another emotion we have to have of positivity is I need people's support. You know, that I usually don't even ask for support. But this one, we need it, because without it, we need people to help us fight with these hashtags. So go to the Instagram, like the pictures. I know once the actors come on board, we're going to get a lot more support. So I'm not overly concerned, but I think now that we do start off strong with letting the people know what's going on and everything. But definitely Howard Clay Films is the best place to go. HowardClayFilms.com. It has all my projects on there, everything I'm doing. I also have a children's book called this one's cute, y'all will love this. It's called the Adventure of James and Rabisha, and it's about two Black kids. Me, I'm James when I was younger, Rabisha's my wife when she was younger, and how what they need to do to make a movie. So it's for 9 to 12 year olds, step by step on what they can do as a child to make a movie. And it's a 5-part series, and at the end, on the last book, they actually have a movie and do a premiere, and we're going to add a little script to it so that the kids can have something to start with and film their own movie. So,
are you going to make that a movie?
It would be a cute animation. Yeah, it definitely be a cute animation. So yeah, that's something I needed as a kid. If I had been 9 or 10 and ran across that book, I definitely think it would have changed my life in a lot of different positive ways. But so I'm trying to give that to the children now, so they can see that you know, we're able to get started with the simplest of things, with your phone, with a simple editing program, grab some friends, and y'all can make a movie. So you should see the eyes of the kids to see the black and brown people on the front of the book, and they're actually making a movie. So it's like, they're like, what? I can make a movie? We're like, yeah, you sure can. You can make it now. You don't even got to wait. There's so many different things that you can do to make it happen. So yeah, so those are the things. But HowardClayFilms.com or the Instagram was the easiest way to find out all the things that I'm doing. But also too, KingOfRhythm-movie.com. And you can also see all the nonprofits that we're working with in order for us to make some serious change.
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show, y'all.
No problem. Yeah, next time. Yeah. She's starting to get bigger and bigger in this industry. And definitely excited for her and the things that she's working on and the different projects we have in front of the networks now. And it's exciting. It's very exciting.
It is.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our guest, Howard Clay.
Thank you.
And he's Howard Clay Films. He's the executive producer of the upcoming film, Kings of Rhythm.
King of Rhythm. The Ike Turner story. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
So we look
you.
Forward
Thank
to
you having me, y'all.
To stay up with you and, you know, come back. Come back and
yeah, show anytime.
Let people know what's going on.
Yes, sir.
We'll ride with you, brother, until this is done.
Mm-hmm. For real.
Yes, sir. I thank you, and I appreciate everything you guys doing.
Big shout out to AP. Oh, yes, and I wanted to say something real quick before we left.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a big shout out to Lou Gossett Jr. We lost Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic actor. You know, just really, really, all our lives he's been around. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to him and all his contributions, man.
Yes, sir.
God bless him and let him rest in peace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Peace. All right, y'all. It's been a good show. Right. Appreciate you. Tattletale.
Tattletale. Yeah.
And I'll guess Howard Clay.
Yeah.
Go to Howard Clay Films. Check him out on Instagram, Facebook. He's doing a lot of things. And Mile 19 is out.
Mile 19 is out right now on Peacock. Check it out.
Well, Peacock, y'all. That's the bird. Yeah.
That's
the
bird.
That's Channel 4. They go on Peacock now, but that's Channel 4.
Fresh Entertainment and Rick Watson presents Walking in the Rain, the stage play from the hit single The Rain by platinum recording artist Orange Juice Jones. You remember that song? I Saw You Walking in the Rain. It goes down Saturday, April 13th at the historic Black Spectrum Theater at 17701 Baisley Boulevard in Jamaica, Queens, New York, 11534. Tickets are $45, and you can go online to www.rickwatsonproductions.com. You can also go to eventbrite.com and just look up the hit play, Walking in the Rain. Showtime is at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45, and ticket information, call 516-362-9839. That's 516-362-9839, and we'll see you walking in the rain.